Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 74 to close at 17,325. S&P 500 up 11 at 2017. NASDAQ Composite up 35 at 4763. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 6 basis points at 1.91%. Oil up 19 cents at $38.65 per barrel. Gold up $30.30 at $1,263.10 per ounce. Today is FOMC Day. Federal Reserve policymakers left interest rates unchanged, as expected. Fed officials cited the potential impact from weaker global growth and financial market turmoil on the U.S. economy for keeping the target range for the benchmark Fed funds rate at 0.25% to 0.5%. The central bank lowered its median projection for U.S. growth in 2016 and next year, and the median of policymakers' quarterly projections implies 2 25 basis point increases this year. That's down from 4 forecast in December. The FOMC statement said, "The committee currently expects that with gradual adjustments in the stance of monetary policy, economic activity will expand at a moderate pace and labor market indicators will continue to strengthen. However, global economic and financial developments continue to pose risks." Policymakers maintain their projections on how soon inflation will return to the Fed's 2% target while cutting their inflation forecast to 1.2% this year from 1.6%. Officials still see the preferred price gauge rising to 1.9% in 2017 and 2% in 2018. Officials maintain their forecast for a 4.7% U.S. unemployment rate in the fourth quarter of this year. The median projection for 2017 fell to 4.6% from 4.7%, and in 2018 down to 4.5%. The rate stood at 4.9% in February. The Fed reiterated that the stance of monetary policy remains accommodative, thereby supporting further improvement in labor market conditions and a return to 2% inflation. At a press conference after the publication of the statement, Fed Chair Janet Yellen said, "April remains a live meeting. There will be additional data on the labor market and on various factors that pertain to inflation, so that's certainly a live possibility." Make no mistake, though, this was a dovish statement from the Fed. No real rush to raise rates, apparent comfort with low inflation. There may be another rate increase, maybe two, but that's less than the previous estimates. The financial markets were happy. Stocks rallied to their highest level this year, sparking a rally in treasuries while sinking the dollar. What the market wants is enough monetary accommodation to accelerate growth, but not so much monetary accommodation that inflation gets out of hand. And for the moment, it appears the Fed is walking that fine line. Treasuries rallied, with two-year yields falling by 11 basis points to 0.86%, biggest drop since September. 10-year yields slipped 6 basis points to 1.91%. The gap between yields on 2-year treasuries and 30-year bonds, which are more influenced by expectations for inflation and economic growth, widened by the most since December, expanding 10 basis points to 186 basis points. Just yesterday, the gap had narrowed to the least since 2008. Oil climbed the most in 3 weeks after some OPEC members agreed to meet with other producers in April for talks on capping production, while U.S. crude stockpiles increased by less than anticipated, although much of the move in oil can be attributed to the drop in the dollar. Gold snapped a 3-day losing streak after the Fed decision. In a note titled, "The Dollar Rally is Far From Over," released just before the Fed's policy decision today, Goldman Sachs analysts predicted that the Federal Reserve would deliver a hawkish surprise, making today's meeting an important turning point for the dollar. It would make perfect sense if the Fed was hawkish. setting up an interest rate differential between the Fed and other central banks that have been cutting rates into negative territory or adding to asset purchases. But the Fed was dovish, and Goldman ended up with egg on its face. The Fed meeting was the third major central bank policy event since Thursday, following an unprecedented stimulus package unleashed by the European Central Bank, and after the Bank of Japan held off from adding more to its record stimulus. Bank of England meets tomorrow. In other economic news today, the overall consumer price index declined 0.2% in February. The core measure, which strips out volatile food and fuel, rose 0.3% from a month earlier. It's the same as in January. So there are some fairly strong inflationary pressures, but they're being held in check by low energy prices. The consumer price gauge increased 1% in the 12 months ended in February. The core CPI measure, which excludes volatile food and fuel cost, rose 2.3% from February 2015. It's the most since May of 2012. Energy costs decreased 6% from a month earlier. The increase in the core measure was broad-based, reflecting gains in rents, hotel rates, clothing, medical care, cars, and education. The 1.6% jump in apparel prices last month, the biggest in 7 years. Construction on new houses rose in February to a five-month high, led by the biggest increase in single-family units in 9 years. Housing starts climbed 5.2% last month to an annual pace of 1.18 million. The pickup in construction last month was centered on single-family homes. Single-family starts jumped 7.2% to an annual rate of 822,000. It's the highest level since November 2007. Builders were especially busy in the West, where starts hit a 9-year peak. Permits for new construction, a sign of future demand, rose 3.2% to an annual rate of 1.17 million. Factory production rose in February for a second month, boosted by demand for business equipment. The 0.2% increase in output followed a 0.5% gain in January, and it marked the first back-to-back advance since March and April of 2015. Total industrial production dropped 0.5% as utility output plunged, the most since March of 2007. Warmer-than-usual temperatures in February depressed utility output by 4%. London Stock Exchange and Deutsche Börse have agreed to an all-share merger, creating Europe's largest securities market operator worth more than $30 billion. Under the deal, a new UK company will be formed. It's called UK Topco. LSE shareholders will hold 45% of the new company, Deutsche Börse investors 55%. Shares of Valeant Pharmaceuticals dropped more than 50% yesterday after the company issued weak earnings guidance and warned of a possible default on some of its debt. Just 2 weeks earlier, Valeant abruptly canceled its earnings release and its CEO, Michael Pearson, returned from a 2-month medical leave. One of the bigger investors in Valeant is the hedge fund Pershing Square, which lost 26.4% this year through March 15th. Today, they sent an email to investors to disclose they were selling 20 million shares of Mondelez International. They didn't say so, but you have to think they got a margin call on Valeant and needed to raise some cash. Peabody Energy, the largest U.S. coal miner, said it may not be financially strong enough to remain in business in its current form, and that the company may seek bankruptcy protection. The company elected to skip $71 million in semi-annual coupons due Tuesday and has entered a 30-day grace period to make the payments. The interest is due on Peabody's $1 billion of 10% second lien notes maturing March 2022 and its $650 million of 6.5% unsecured bonds coming due September 2020. Shares plunged 49%. Chipotle anticipates a huge first-quarter loss. A regulatory filing released yesterday showed the burrito chain Chipotle expects a loss of $1 a share or worse in the first quarter as it continues to deal with the fallout from its norovirus and E. coli outbreaks. Chipotle blames its forecast on higher expenses driven by increased marketing and promotions spend in other operating costs. While same-store sales tumbled 26.1% in February, it was an improvement from the 36.4% drop in January. Oracle is buying back more stock. Company announced earnings of 64 cents per share, topping estimates of 62 cents. Revenue fell 3.4% to $9 billion, slightly missing estimates. Oracle's total cloud revenues, $583 million. That's up 57%. Company said it would buy back an additional $10 billion worth of stock. Speaking at Lockheed Martin's annual Media Day, CEO Marillyn Hewson discussed several new technological breakthroughs, including progress on hypersonic aircraft and laser weapons that could be used on the battlefield. Lockheed hopes to produce a jet that could reach Mach 6 while carrying conventional or nuclear warheads. The project would continue throughout the 2020s, with aircraft potentially entering service in the 2030s. Hewson also showed a slide of an experiment involving a 30-kilowatt laser weapon that can bore a hole through a 2-inch piece of steel in seconds, disabling an incoming rocket or the engine of a pickup truck. Caesars Entertainment and its private equity backers could be on the hook for up to $5 billion in potential damages over a series of corporate deals that a court-ordered examiner said led to the $18 billion bankruptcy protection filing by the casino company's operating unit. A team of lawyers has spent a year probing whether Caesars, under the control of Apollo Global Management and TPG Capital, stripped away prime properties and left the company unable to pay a mountain of debt. Harrison Ford and Steven Spielberg teaming up to make a fifth Indiana Jones action-adventure movie, due for release July 2019. It comes despite mixed reviews for the fourth entry in the series, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which nonetheless grossed $787 million worldwide. It's also the first film to be made by Disney, which bought the distribution rights from Paramount in 2013. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com, text, audio, archived audio, and much more at eatthebankers.com. That's eatthebankers.com. Time now for the 420 break. We'll be right back.